listener production.
Please leave your message after the tone.
Why am I jealous of my ex?
I am so stressed all the time.
How do I get into a routine?
Is TikTok making me anxious?
I think I'm being manipulated.
Someone told me you could live with half a brain.
This is Do You Fucking Mind? Mindset Hacks for a Badass Life, hosted by me, Alexis Fernandez.
Hello, my beautiful beans, and welcome to the episode of today. So in today's episode, we are talking about how to become more intentional and less passive. So this is with your life. And of course, this comes down to happiness. This obviously goes without saying, but I feel like something that a lot of people struggle with in their day-to-day life. And I don't know if it's more so now or if we're just more aware of it now or people are speaking about it more now, but it feels really prevalent that people are really struggling with happiness and finding happiness and feeling content with their life. Okay. So any tiny, tiny little thing that I can instill in your mind to make you feel like you've got more control of your happiness, I'm going to try to do. And hopefully this is just one of the many tools that you can use in your life to really feel like you are genuinely content and happy, and not only happy, but happy within yourself and with who you are and your life and where it's headed. Okay. So this is one of those episodes where we're really focusing on your happiness and what you can do to make yourself happy, because there's always going to be two kinds of happiness. I think there's the happiness that you create for yourself, which is the best kind of happiness because it's a bit more, you can rely on it more. It feels very fulfilling because you've earned it. But then there's going to be many other forms of happiness that come in the way of experiences that you have and like good things that happen to you and, you know, other people in your life. And I think it's really good to lean into both of those things. But unfortunately, if you're only ever leaning into the second kind of happiness, then you're kind of at the mercy of what is happening outside of you. And it really feels like you are not in control of your happiness. And I think this is where a lot of people, like, they fall prey to this. And when things aren't going right for them in their life, then it really, really impacts their own mental health and their happiness. Okay. So we want to take those reins back. We want to take control. We want to feel like we are in the driver's seat of our life. And this topic about becoming more intentional and less passive is massive. Okay. And I'm going to show you how you might have found yourself in this way, not intentionally, obviously, as the topic of the podcast suggests, as the title of the podcast suggests, but kind of how you might have, through many different reasons, find yourself in a position where you're like, wow, I really am not doing anything right now to be in control of my life. Okay, so that's what we're going to be talking about. Quick little life update. I just came back from a trip to Queensland. Tyrone and I did a road trip. We drove up to Noosa, spent a few days there. I grew up in Noosa, so love going there, always fucking love it. And then went to Brisbane and I met a bunch of beans. So I met some beans on the walk, on the National Park walk in Noosa. That was so fucking epic to just like literally two of you guys on the walk separately, like 10 minutes apart. And we're like, I love your podcast. I listened to your podcast. That was really cool. And then in Brisbane, I was out for a run and someone yelled out, I love your podcast. And then someone messaged me saying that they actually were going to say something to me on my run. If you're thinking, should I not? Just always do, because I fucking love it. Even just for my sake, do it, because I just love meeting you guys and I love being able to have that interaction. And no, I don't care if I stop running on my run. I don't care. Honestly, it's one of the biggest joys of the podcast is being able to connect with people and it having like meaning behind it. So never feel like it's a burden. Always say hello. And then I met someone at the Caxton. I was going to watch the Broncos game. Tyrone and I were there for a drink first and someone came up to me and said that they love the podcast. So shout out to all you guys. Fucking amazing. Love you so much. Okay. Now the little brain fact for today, not so much a brain fact, but I'm talking about a neurochemical that I've spoken about quite a fucking lot over the history of my podcast. And that is HIIT, high intensity interval training, and its effects on burnout overall. Because the reason I wanted to talk about this is because I talk about HIIT a lot and I talk about how good it can be for your brain, for your body. There's many, many good things that can come from HIIT. But I was talking to a friend of mine recently and her, I can't remember what kind of specialist it was, so I'm not even going to try and remember it, but she was having like digestive issues, all these health issues that she was kind of like, I'm going to get to the bottom of this. I'm going to sort it all out. And one of the specialists that she spoke to said, stop high intensity training. You need to be doing yoga, walks, things like that. And she said this to me and I was like, that's so interesting piece of advice. And I agree with it to an extent, but then I think it's within context and it's important to talk about this, because then she was like, oh my God, I never knew that, you know, training hard is so bad. It's so bad for me because my cortisol is high all the time. And I was like, yes, but no, but yes. So I thought, let's talk about this and what this actually means, because let's first talk about HIIT training. What exactly is HIIT? So HIIT is high intensity interval training. It is short bursts of maximum energy from between it. Look, I was looking it up and it says between 10 to 60 seconds. If you can sustain HIIT for 60 seconds, and I don't actually think it qualifies as HIIT, like HIIT's pretty fucking, you got to go hard, right? So I would say more like 10 to 30 seconds, maybe even less than that. But anyway, you're like going hard out. And then this is followed by a period of like really chilled recovery, movement, or not nothing at all, like total rest. And that rest recovery is generally, for the most part, longer than the efforts that you just did, because you need time to like properly recover to then go in for the next effort. I think that sometimes the best HIIT ones are where you've got that longer recovery so you can really genuinely apply significant effort in the next round. Okay. But we're not even getting into that thing. But basically, that's what HIIT is. The benefits are improved body composition. You've got higher post-exercise metabolism, improved insulin sensitivity. And then from the brain perspective, it helps release all these positive neuroprotective things. It helps with synaptogenesis. So that's the creation of new synapses between cells, between neurons, connections, basically. It helps release neurotrophins, one of them, which I talk about all the time, which is brain-derived neurotrophic factor, which is amazing at being like, it's great for neuroprotection. It is released in a part of the brain with HIIT training in particular, in the hippocampus, which is, you know, learning, memory consolidation, all of that. So you're getting a lot of these benefits from like a neurological standpoint and a physical standpoint as well. So tick, 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 love it so much. Now, what happens, and this is what my friend's doctor was telling her, or specialist was telling her, is that another thing that occurs when you do HIIT training and when you do any kind of, when you put your body under stress, so this is also ice baths and saunas as well, is cortisol gets released in the body. And cortisol, as we know, is our stress hormone. It's released when you are under stress, whether it's physical stress, like exercising, sauna, ice bath, or when you're under emotional stress as well. And this is what activates your sympathetic nervous system. And if you listen to my whole thing on nervous systems a few episodes ago, that is when we go into our flight or fright scenario. Okay. So this is where basically your body is ready to fucking perform. It's ready to like go hard on something, flee. Your heart is racing, the blood is pumping, your pupils are dilated, you are fucking ready to go. This is also what gets released when you're about to perform, like when you're going to go on stage. So cortisol is really fucking helpful for all these things. It's also at its highest in the morning and it should be at its lowest when you're about to go to sleep. So like easing into sleep, okay? It also, you know, has a role in metabolism and breaking down fats and carbs, and it helps give us immediate energy as well. So you can flee or fight or whatever. Now, what happens in, for the most part, if let's just talk about best case scenario. The reason why it's good to do these things, because people think, oh, but isn't it bad if you have too much cortisol? Alexis, I heard your fucking episode on stress and the effects on the brain. And I was talking about chronic stress. And when you have a lot of stress all the time, your cortisol levels are elevated all the time, and how it affects connectivity between brain regions. It affects brain size. There's all these things that happen when you have really high levels of cortisol all the time. Okay. However, when you intentionally, operative word being intentionally, put your body under stress, under a stressful environment, and you're there to endure the stress, like training, like a HIIT training, like ice bath, like sauna, you are kind of training your body basically. So what's happening is you're getting this higher release of cortisol because you are under stress. But then what happens soon after, depending on what training you do and depending on if it's a sauna, blah, 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 it depends on the time frame after you do the exercise, after you're exposed to that thing, your cortisol then drops below baseline and it lowers your cortisol level overall when you don't need it. It keeps your ability to regulate cortisol, or your brain's ability to regulate cortisol, in a really healthy way. That means that when you need it, you've got great supplies, bang, you're ready to go. But when you don't need it, those levels are pretty fucking low, as opposed to someone who's chronically stressed, that when they need it, they can't get that spike that they need, but it's always just higher and it's causing them to feel really irritable. It's affecting their memory, their sleep, all of that. Okay. Now, when you train, if everything's healthy, if everything's all good, you do your HIIT session, You get the spike in cortisol. Then a few hours after, roughly 2 hours after, that's when you start to drop, and you feel really calm. You feel really good and your cortisol levels are dropping overall. So it's great for chronic stress. It's great for stress in general to release or to lower stress. So if you're somebody that's highly stressed, highly strung, training in high intensities is in general good for you. Now, why did this specialist say to my friend, don't train? Because what was, and I can probably vouch for this, what was very likely happening is where she was overtraining, and she likely had something called overtraining syndrome. Okay. So overtraining is, as the fucking term suggests, where you are training too much. And overtraining syndrome symptoms are where you're chronically fatigued, where your muscles are fatigued all the time. So they're sore, and you feel like, oh, they just never really recover. And then I'm doing the next session again. Where you've got decrease in power when you're training. So you're, even though you're training so much, you're like, I don't feel like I'm getting strong. I don't feel like I'm getting more powerful. I feel like I'm like moving, my legs are like moving blocks of lead. Where you feel anxiety or have anxious feelings. When you get sick often, or you feel that your immunity is lower. Your sleep is affected. Your motivation is affected. Your mood is affected. These are all quite similar symptoms to chronic emotional stress as well, by the way. So not all of them, not like the muscle fatigue necessarily, but the other ones, yes. So basically overtraining occurs when there's not enough recovery in between. Now, recovery, a lot of people don't realize that recovery is very holistic. We've got to look at recovery from multiple angles. So this includes muscle recovery. This is knowing when to rest and for how long. It's knowing how to listen to your body and be like, I need to take a day off, or I need to go really slow tomorrow, or I need to do something like swim or a walk instead of smashing myself again because my muscles are really fucking sore. It's knowing how to get adequate sleep, the duration, and more importantly than that, the quality of your sleep. And of course, it's eating enough and hydrating enough, and it's eating enough of the right foods. As in, boring, I know, but a balanced diet. And if you don't think you have a balanced diet, making sure that you are receiving enough supplementation. So for me, I need to take a lot of zinc because my skin is fucked when I don't take zinc. So I obviously have a problem absorbing zinc or some shit. So if you're someone that knows you're lacking in something, of course, supplementing, but in general, knowing how to have a balanced diet. Do you have enough proteins? Proteins, super important. Fats, carbs, all the above, all your micronutrients, all that shit. That is recovery. If you are under eating, you can then start to feel that you have overtraining syndrome because you're not recovering properly. Same as sleep, same as all of the above. If you go to train and you feel like you are dying before you've even started, there's a big fucking chance that you have overtraining syndrome, okay? So rewind, listen to those symptoms again and pay close attention, because the issue here is that when that is the case, when you're overtraining and then you continue to train, then your cortisol levels are higher overall, and that's going to affect other areas. It's then going to make it harder for you to sleep. It's going to affect your mental health. It's going to affect your mood. It's going to affect your physical health. And then that then affects all kinds of your physical health. This could be your gut health. This could be your skin health. It bleeds into so many other areas. And it creates elevated levels of cortisol because your body is under stress because it's not recovered properly. So just like your body's under stress when you train, it's under stress when it's trying to recover and you don't give it the chance and you go train again. You're trying to recover, blah, 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 blah. So you're just basically smashing yourself. So in a nutshell, if you're someone that is like, oh, but because a lot of people like HIIT training is really bad because it raises your cortisol overall. No, this is what I mean by yes and no. HIIT training, if you never give your body a rest, yeah, it's going to exacerbate the problems. It's going to exacerbate the fact that you never let yourself recover, that you don't have a balanced, holistic approach to recovery, which includes multiple things there. If you have a balanced lifestyle and all is peachy and you're doing it well, is HIIT good for you? Absolutely. It's great to reduce your cortisol levels overall, your baseline cortisol levels. It's fucking brilliant. If you feel that you're recovering well and you're sleeping well, but you could, you know, you could do more for your stress levels, that is something great to do. High intensity interval training. Great for your brain. Fucking great for you. Okay. Good times. Now let's get straight into the topic of today, which is how to become more intentional and less passive with your life and with your happiness. Now, what do I mean by this? Let's talk about passive first. So passive, I was looking up like multiple fucking definitions in the dictionary for like passive, or what I'm trying to explain myself by saying passive. So passive is accepting or allowing what happens or what others do without active response or resistance. Now, that sounds all right. It sounds like it's could be a good thing, could be a bad thing. It's also someone who does not take action but lets things happen to them. This is a big one of what I'm going to be talking about. It's also receptive to outside impressions or influences. So instead of creating the change for yourself, it's kind of the other way around. It's if you have a passive communication style, it's likely where you're not expressing your own thoughts or your emotions properly, and therefore you're likely not going to have your needs met. Okay. So a lot of the time we are passive in our lives in many different areas. And we're going to delve into this a little bit further. I'm going to get you to do a bit of insight into exploration into where it is that you are passive. Cause a lot of the time it's, unless you've really thought about it, paused and looked at different areas in your life, it's hard to identify. I for sure have been in the past extremely passive, and even definitely now I'm passive in certain areas, and it fluctuates between one area and another. So it's something that you don't have to be perfect in, but it's good to have an awareness. So that way, when you raise the awareness, you're like, oh, yep, that's like a little indicator. It's like the flag has been raised. I'm aware of it. I'm going to do something about it. Okay. And like most of what I talk about, it's not about achieving perfection. It's about learning how to address things quicker and more effectively so we can just, our happiness can be increased overall. So basically what I want to talk about is how to turn all those little things around about when you are passive, once we identify what that is, so we can become more intentional with almost every aspect of our life. Even the times where you think you want to be passive. Okay. So I'll go into that, because even rest, even doing nothing should be intentional. And that way you feel really fulfilled when you do it instead of feeling like you've wasted your time. So I will get into all of that. But one thing that I really want you to ask yourself, when you do certain things in your day, a lot of the time we think it's for pleasure, right? A lot of the things that we do, we think, oh, I'm doing this for pleasure. But ask yourself, is this for pleasure or for happiness? Or is this to distract myself from my sadness? Or is it to distract myself from my dissatisfaction with whatever's going on in this area? Because I think a lot of the time we will think, oh, what I love to do is scroll for hours, or, you know, like all these really distracting behaviors. But when it comes down to it, a lot of the time, and I'm not trying to demonize scrolling altogether. We all fucking do it. It's fine. But I'm going to teach you what I'm going to talk about, how we can do it in a way that's beneficial, quote unquote beneficial. But a lot of the time it's really important to ask yourself, does this make me happy, or am I distracting myself because I don't want to face the fact that I'm not happy, or I'm stressed about something, or I'm dissatisfied about something? Because if that's the case, then we can change it and do something differently about it. All right. Are you happy, or are you distracting yourself from something else? That is the question. Another thing that I want you to really pay attention to throughout this whole episode is, what are your irreplaceable and priceless resources that you have? And you don't even have to think about it. I'm going to tell you, it is your time, your attention span, and also your focus span. Like what you choose to focus on, how you direct your focus. The more you learn to direct your focus, that easier it becomes to do so in the future. Your attention, because one thing is, like I talk about dedicating time to something, but it's more so dedicating your attention to something if it's like a difficult task to do. And then your time overall, obviously that's something that you can spend doing something that is fulfilling, something that makes you happy, being around people that matter to you, or wasting it away doing something else. Okay. So let's go over, I've got like 9 points that I want to cover. So let's get straight into it. Number one, I want you to identify what your passive behaviors are. And in passive behaviors, we're going to be talking about passive, as in I'm going to allow things to happen to me and I'm not going to, you know, take control. Distracting behaviors, where I'm going to engage in something that is distracting so I don't have to deal with something else, whether it be something stressful, whether it be my own thoughts in my own head. And pacifying, where I'm going to be like, you know, like pacifying in the sense of I'm avoiding, basically. So it's like a baby. When they cry, you put a pacifier in their mouth so they stop crying. You're like distracting, but there you go. And we do that to ourselves all the time. Now, these are behaviors. They are all behaviors that avoid something. So that's a really good clue when you're trying to look at what are my passive behaviors. You are avoiding. So you're either avoiding an interaction, you're avoiding speaking up for yourself, you're avoiding hard work, whether it's hard work emotionally that you've got to go through yourself, or whether it's physical hard work or mental hard work. You're avoiding dealing with something. Whether it's like, it could be dealing with difficult feelings, facing difficult feelings that you're going through, pain. It could be you avoid admitting something to yourself or admitting something to someone else, avoiding being wrong, avoiding failing. So when you're passive, you are avoiding many aspects of your life. And because of this avoiding, you end up being a passenger in your life. Okay. And these people are the ones that will sadly look back in a few decades' time and be the ones that think that life just passed them by. What did I do with all those years? It's just passed me by. And those are the people that end up living with regret. It's not the people that tried and failed and made all these mistakes. Those people rarely regret that, you know? And it's not the people that were in, you know, unhealthy relationships and then they got out of it and then they learned and, you know, they found better relationships for them later on. It's the people that feel like life passed them by. Like, why didn't I do something? Why didn't I take more control of my situation? Why didn't I act in the moment? Okay. And I don't want that to be you guys. So we're going to look at those behaviors. So you can pause or you could do this at the end of the episode, but really think, what are my behaviors? Do I get home and it was so stressful that I sit down and I scroll and scroll and scroll and scroll and scroll and then I just eat something and then I go to bed. And then at the end of the year, I'm like, oh God, this year I want to do, you know, I have all these goals for this year. And then the same thing happens that year where it's like, I'm pacifying myself. I'm stressed. I'm annoyed at work. And this is how I de-stress. This is how, but then I'm not sleeping well. And then I aim to train in the morning, but my sleep is shot to pieces. So I can't get up early. And then it's this vicious cycle. Okay. That's passive. Number two, how does my behavior right now in this thing affect me? It's a question that you got to ask yourself. So how does my response to this thing right now affect me? How does my reaction, my procrastination, my lack of action, my distracting, my avoidance, my addictive behaviors, being on social media, you know, doing that thing that I'm addicted to, my pride, what is the outcome of this passive behavior, of this avoiding behavior? Always, there's always going to be an outcome. Does it hold me back or does it nudge me forward? Is it holding me back? Is it nudging me forward? Ask you. So if you're someone that's like, wow, I really want to get good at this hobby of mine. I want to start a hobby. I want to get good. I really want to learn how to sew. I want to make my own clothes. Every time I see it on social media, I get, oh God, I wish I could do that. I want to do it. But every time I get home, I spend 3 hours scrolling on social media, or I just have to put the TV on and I can't sit alone with my thoughts. Is that holding me back? Is that pushing me forward? Okay. Every time I say I'm going to set my alarm, I end up not getting up because of X, Y, Z. So there's always going to be something that you do. Every time I have a conversation with my partner, if they raise something that I've done wrong, I end up shutting them off and say, I don't want to talk to you. And then I make it really uncomfortable for them to raise something with me that we end up being moody at each other for a week, but then it just goes away. But the issue never gets addressed and I can never admit that I'm wrong. Is that holding me back in the relationship or is it nudging me forward? What's painful, you know, in that moment is often what's going to actually help you in the long term. So a lot of the times where we avoid confrontation, we avoid admitting that we're wrong, we avoid looking at our own behavior and being like, I'm the one that fucked up there, or I could have done better, or I could prepare better if I did it this way. Or I shouldn't have wasted so much time doing that thing. And that is a waste of time, admitting that something is a waste of time. Because I'm all about, and I'm going to talk about this on how to actually care for yourself and how to actually rest. But I think a lot of the time people will dismiss it by saying, oh, but I'm so stressed. I deserve it. I deserve to sit on the couch. I've worked such a hard day. I deserve it. Do you know what you deserve? You deserve to live your life to the fullest and not have regrets. That's what you deserve. You don't deserve to, after all the work you've done, to sit and do fuck all but be on your phone consuming content that you're not even choosing to consume. It's just being fed to you for 3 hours straight. You don't deserve that shit. So people look at it like as if it's a treat and whatever. It's not a treat and you're not helping yourself. So we're going to talk about in a little bit how to do that in moderation, because everything comes down to moderation. Everything. You know, I want you to be able to enjoy social media and not have social media enjoy you by being able to sell to you and all that shit. You know, you are using it. It is not using you. Well, maybe it is using you. So let's talk about what it is that you really deserve and be real about it, because I want you to be able to, you know, it's not about being mean to yourself. It's about being, you know, critical in a good way, there's a big difference. And I've spoken about this before, but the difference between genuine criticism that's constructive versus negative self-talk is that there's no solution with negative self-talk and it's all about assassinating your own character or how you feel about yourself. It makes you feel shit at the end. Constructive criticism is where you can highlight something that could be improved and there's a positive outcome at the end of this constructive. It's being like, all right, if I did this, then this could be the outcome. And if I did, you feel empowered by the end of it. So there's a big difference. A lot of people don't want to even look at what they can improve or what they can change or what these behaviors are that I've just asked you to, like, what are your behaviors right now that's affecting you? A lot of people don't want to do that because they think that it's going to hurt themselves even more and that it's going to be negative self-talk and it's going to hurt their self-esteem. It's actually the opposite. And you'll know if you've done it in a kind way to yourself or if you've done it in a mean way to yourself, if you feel like you've attacked yourself versus, like, at the end of constructively criticizing your behavior, you should feel really empowered moving forward. You should be like, okay, I am in control. I could do that differently. Next time I could approach it this way and it feels good. Okay. Number three, what does forward look like for you in every category? So I just said, is something holding you back or is it nudging you forward? What does nudging you forward look like? Could it be that, like, I wish I was more open with my partner. We had a really great relationship where we could just be like, hey, let's sit down. Can we talk about this thing? And there'd be no, you know, shutting people down, silent treatment for days. I wish, like, that to me would be moving forward, having those, like, goals of relationships. I wish I was more open with my friends. I wish I had a hobby that I was really good at, that the way I look at other people with their hobbies, people would look at me that way, you know, where I could excel at something and it doesn't need to be paid. I'm just really fucking good at one fucking thing and I love doing it. I wish I traveled more. I wish I was more spontaneous. I wish I was that person that would just call a friend at 9 p.m. and be like, let's fucking get pancakes, the 24-hour place, like, whatever. I wish I studied that thing, career or not, just studied this thing that I'm interested in. You know, I wish I fucking ran more, whatever it is. I wish I spent more time with my dog, intentionally present. I wish that every time I went out with my friends, I was present and paying attention, you know? So what does moving forward look like for you? I wish I had time for myself. I wish I had time for my family, more time for my family. So only you can answer that question. Only you can answer what that looks like for you. Okay, number four, I want you to remind yourself, I am here. This is a huge one. And it's one of my favorite things. If there's one thing, someone asked me the other day, I did like an Instagram like Q&A, ask me anything. And I didn't get around to answering this one, but it's a great one. And there's two. They were like, what's a current saying that you say to yourself or a quote that you have or something that you say to yourself, I don't know how it was worded exactly, that you kind of live by at the moment. And one of the things, there's two. Number one is, I say this to my family all the time. Every time we're trying to get the family together and people are like, oh, I said to them, life is to be lived with the people that you love. Like, life is to be lived. Emphasis on the live. You know, if you're ever going to be like, should I not? Am I fucking living right now? Am I not? And it's kind of like aligned with this. So that's the first one. And then the second one is, I am here today because of where I was yesterday, where I was last week, and where I was last month. Who you are right now is a summation of who you have been in the relatively recent future. Okay. So if I want tomorrow to be different, today needs to be different. Something's got to change today so that the outcome, the residual effect of my actions today are seen in the me of tomorrow. And by tomorrow, that's like a broad term. It could mean the me of next week, the me of next month, like, but it's the actions of now. So if I'm looking at myself right now, if I'm listening to this podcast right now, and I want the me of tomorrow to be different, what can I do now? Because who you are right now is all due to the past, not from what you're doing right now, because what you do right now is seen later. It's not instant. Very few things in your behavior have instant, you know, effects. So that's why I think it's really important to remind yourself of that, because it can be super fucking empowering to be in a position where you're like, you know, why wait till tomorrow? Why not take action on something now? And the beauty of it is, this is different to when I talk about discipline or when I talk about, it's all about being like, how can I be more intentional in this thing right now? How can I be intentional with my day? You know, if I'm going to go for a walk, can I not listen to something one day, or can I listen to something that's actually going to be, you know, helpful for me or beneficial for me? Can I actually listen to an audio book that I've been wanting to read, but I keep putting it off because I'm like, oh, it's probably not as interesting. And I'm going to, you know what I mean? Like, what can I do to be more intentional? How can I be present in everything that I do? How can I learn to apologize? How can I maximize my relationships? How can I let go of grudges better? Holding onto a grudge is one of the most passive things you can do. And that really feels like life is passing you by. Okay. That kind of shit. And you can do that every single day. You could be sitting here right now being like, I've just had a fight with my friend and I'm being petty. You know, who cares if they're also at fault? Who cares? Why don't I just reach out and be like, I fucking love you. Let's talk. Like, there's always something you can do right now to be like, am I going to be passive or am I going to be intentional? Am I going to apologize? Am I going to reach out to this person that I love? Am I going to say how I feel? Am I going to do something productive with my time? Am I going to put my fucking phone down and listen? These tiny behaviors, these bids for connection, reaching out to people, that is what will equal overall happiness that you can control, that you can feel empowered, that you can feel like I did that for myself. I did that for that connection. I did that for this relationship. I feel good. The more passive you are, the more it feels like the world and life is happening to you. And that's when it can really start to affect your happiness. And I want you to take control of your happiness. So constantly remind yourself all the time, okay, I am here now because of where I was yesterday. So if I want tomorrow to be different, I need to do something today in order for tomorrow to feel different. It's not, happiness is not in the future. Happiness is in the moments of now, okay? And if you think that, oh yeah, but once this thing happens, then I'll be happy, then listen to my episode on hedonic adaptation and how that's not the case. Because if some good thing will happen to you one day, that's all well and good, but you'll go back to your baseline level of happiness. And your baseline level of happiness is the internal happiness that you create for yourself, not winning the lotto, because you can win the lotto and in 18 months, you'll be just as miserable as you are now. Hopefully you're not that miserable. Now, another thing to remind yourself of, number five, is passive equals easy, quote unquote, or less confronting in the moment. So if something is passive, it's less confronting. Doesn't necessarily mean it's great and enjoyable and amazing, but it's less confronting. So that's avoiding behaviors. Like I said, avoid. And it also means that it's harder for you in the future. So passive equals easy, less confronting in the moment, but harder for you in the future. Intentional means more effort now, more confronting, but easier for you in the future. You're doing your future self a favor by being intentional with your actions. Number six, ask yourself, how much of what you avoid is actually for the hope of making your life more enjoyable, but it ends up doing the opposite? And what I mean by that, I'm going to give you some examples. Trying to live your life so safe so you don't experience loss equals you actually missing out on a lot of things in your life because you're living too small, you're living too safe. And then it never actually prevents you from losing anything because you realize that a lot of those things you can't control anyway. So you spend your whole life living too safe, hoarding everything, keeping the people, and then they still, you know, you can still have loss. The next one is not being vulnerable, thinking that you're not going to get hurt, but you can still get hurt. And then you don't actually end up having that real connection. You don't, no one ever really gets to learn who you are. You don't get that amazing connection and bond, but then you still experience the pain. So you haven't made your life safer or more enjoyable. Another example is not taking risks so you don't fail, but then that also means that you're not going to experience wins either, or the chance of a win, or the journey that got you close to that win and how fulfilling that is and the growth that you're going to have. Not believing in yourself and putting yourself out there so you don't experience humiliation or embarrassment, whatever. But then that means that you're never going to outgrow your shell and experience a new life outside of the one that you have. You're never going to have these multiple evolutions in your life that you deserve to have. So that's what I mean about how much of what you avoid is for the hope of having a good life, but it actually ends up doing the opposite. And sit with that and think, what am I avoiding right now? Because I think it'll make my life easier. I'm avoiding putting myself out there. I'm avoiding, you know, taking a risk because I'm like, I don't want to fail. I don't want to fail. I don't want to be humiliated. I don't want to be embarrassed. I don't want to be dumped. I don't want to be rejected. I don't. But how much do you miss out on because you're trying to live your life too safe? No life is safe enough. No job is safe enough. No relationship is safe enough. No home is safe enough. No decision is safe enough. So you might as well take a chance on something that you think is going to make you happy. And this all comes down to this concept of chasing change, because change will always happen. Like I said, nothing is safe enough. There's no guarantee. There's no bet. The only thing that's guaranteed is change will happen, is that nothing is permanent. So that's where you have the decision to be like, all right, instead of living like this, I'm going to turn it around to be intentional and do something right now, whether it's a risk or not. Because a lot of intentional things that you do is not a risk, and it really helps. Number seven, I was watching this like reel or like some Instagram with Arnold Schwarzenegger. I love him so much. And he says, there's no substitute for work. And it's so obvious, but so true. So look at your behaviors and ask yourself, when am I trying to use something as a substitute in my life? You know, so for example, we want to feel happy. So what actually equals happiness is all the things I just mentioned, hard work, effort, all of that. That's what, you know, because you earn something, it feels really good. You've got that growth, you've got the purpose, you've got the connection. But I'm substituting it for small pleasures in the moment now. But then I look back and I'm like, wow, that actually got me nowhere. It's like the same idea of like when you're trying to really earn something and achieve something in your life, or you could be going by this, trying to get all these get rich quick schemes, but you're wasting all this time, you know, when you look at like a career trajectory. So there is no substitute for work. There never will be. So you got to ask yourself, am I willing to actually do the work and get what I want, or not at all? Because there's no in between. There is no in between. We could think that all these things that we do, that pacify us, that we avoid to play it safe, is going to make us happy, but it won't. Because the only thing that can make you happy is you engaging and connecting and having purpose and growing and risking. That's what makes you happy. And it's scary and it's a hard journey. And if you haven't done it, start small. And you start to realize that even when it fails, it's not the end of the world. It actually is weirdly empowering. Not in the moment. It kind of sucks failing in the moment. I fucking hate it. But soon after, it's empowering because you're like, I didn't fucking die. I am here and I've learned something either about myself or about that other person or about this situation or about what I want or what I don't want. Okay. That's pretty fucking, the amount of things that failing has taught me what I don't want. Like I would retire if I had a dollar for every time that happened. You know, it's amazing and it's great because when you learn what you don't want, you can then twist it around to figure out what it is that you do want, because that's ultimately what we want to focus on. Now, last one. I thought I had nine, but I actually have eight. Last one, and this is one that I've been talking about that I'm going to do this episode, is learn to make rest intentional. This is where a lot of people go wrong. Rest is one of the best things to make intentional. There's nothing better than intentional rest. And when you learn to rest intentionally, oh, I'm so excited about this point. I can put my iPad to the side. Okay, when you learn to rest intentionally, not only do you rest properly and you do it like a badass, but then when you're not resting, you're fucking on. This is where most people go wrong. Most people, like I said before as the example, do, I've worked my fucking ass off. I'm really, really tired. So I'm going to go home. And then they distract, being on the phone, you know, on their couch, scrolling, whatever. That's not resting. That is not resting. Okay. That's you being like, or you stealing moments of the day. Oh, I've just worked my ass off. I'm going to sit down and quickly scroll. You're saying to yourself, I'm really busy. I don't have time to rest. So you're telling yourself you're not allowed to rest. That's the first thing that we do wrong. We say, oh, I can't rest. I'm too busy. But then throughout the day, the amount of time that most people waste, and I mean waste, doing shit that's not actually beneficial. And because they're saying, oh, I can't actually rest. So they're doing 10 minutes of bullshit here, 10 minutes there, doing shit that's distracting or unhealthy for them or an addictive behavior. And then they're like, oh, I just need some time out. And they do this addictive behavior. So they're telling themselves they're not allowed to rest, but they actually are taking these moments to rest, when in reality, it's like some sort of addictive behavior that's not helping them at all. So I think number one, pay attention to how many times you actually allow yourself to rest. Number two, learn how to rest intentionally. And what I mean by that is there's a whole bunch of ways you can do it. If you're someone that loves social media, we're going to learn how to use social media intentionally. If I said to you, I don't even have to say this to you because most people do it anyway. Go to bed, pull out your phone and just scroll on social media until you're so fucking tired from the day, but you're actually not sleeping properly because you're not getting whatever because you're watching a screen. But anyway, and then you just like fall asleep after hours. People do that all the time. I don't even have to give you that option. But if I give you another option and I said, you're only allowed 15 minutes on your phone before like you start work or on your lunch break, 15 minutes is all you get. Are you going to scroll aimlessly? Or are you going to be intentional? Are you going to reply to those messages that people send you, watch your favorite stories, and then like scroll a little bit at the end, and then bang, you're off. You feel good at the end of it. You feel, this is what you feel. You feel, I got a little bit of a hit. I got some things that I like to see. I messaged people back that I wanted to. I saw some funny things. It was really fulfilling. It was fun. And I also feel good because I had the self-control to get off it at the time that I said I was going to get off it. So whether it was 10 minutes, 15 minutes, I could set myself a timer. I wouldn't do longer than 15 minutes because that's where you start doom scrolling. That feels fucking good. And that's where you have intentionally used social media. I do that shit all the time. So that way I never feel like I'm doom scrolling. I'm like, oh, and then I feel so guilty for being on it. I'm like, no, I did it intentionally. I was intending to use it for this time period and I did it and now I feel fucking good. I got off it and I'm not like addicted needing to go back to it. The other thing when it comes to rest is, how do you properly rest? If you were to schedule in a rest day or a rest afternoon and say, I'm blocking this out as if I was blocking out a dinner with a friend, or as if I was blocking out a workout, or as if I was blocking out time to study, I'm going to block out a rest. And from 4 p.m. to fucking 8 p.m. or whatever time you want to choose, less or more, whatever, I'm going to put my phone on do not disturb. I'm going to select my favorite movie. I'm going to think about it beforehand. I'm going to get excited about this movie. I'm going to make myself a tea. I'm going to sit there. I'm fucking pumped for this. And I've scheduled it in. I'm not stealing moments throughout the day and then feeling guilty for having quote unquote stolen a moment from my day to rest when rest is imperative to happiness. I have scheduled it in. Nothing's conflicting with this on my timetable. If I have children, I've reached out to someone and said, I need your help right now. I'm scheduling in a rest block. And that's what I'm going to do. And I'm going to sit here and really allow myself to do nothing. The more you allow yourself, and I'm not saying do this every fucking day, 8 hours a day, because you're going to feel very unfulfilled if you do that for 8 hours a day. But I'm saying the more you create that balance of intentional rest where you're like, I am intending to be here and do not much at all. It feels fucking good. You have really rested and it gets you excited to put in effort. If you are constantly working, shit, sleep, wake up, work, here, stealing here, addictive behavior, scrolling on social media, doom scrolling until I say, you're never going to feel rested. You're never going to feel like you're allowed to rest because we've got this glorification of being busy. And then when you do have a time to rest, you're not going to rest properly because you feel guilty doing it. So I've mentioned this 1,000 times before, but I'm going to mention it again in case you haven't already listened to it. My sister does this thing where she schedules in a pajama day. She's a firefighter. So granted, she's got a very hectic job, at least in comparison to me and in comparison to a lot of people. And so, you know, she does 24-hour shifts. So it can be fucking hardcore at times. But she does this thing where once a fortnight or so, sometimes less, sometimes more often, she has a scheduled pajama day. And she spoke about this on the podcast in an episode that we did together. And what she does on that day is nothing. She literally stays in her pajamas for most of the day. She kind of like pods around, cooks a little meal for herself, watches movies, relaxes, maybe waters the plants, like so low key. And she trains like a demon, mind you. Like you should see her. She is like an Adonis, a chiseled out like sculpture. It's hectic. But she does this full day. Again, what I was talking about, the hit and recovery and whatever, she really understands recovery well and she'll do it really well. No one works harder than her. No one trains harder than her. Everything is like, she is kind of, when she does something, she does it all out. She does it like to the maximum that you can be done. If she's going to do something, she's not going to half-ass it, including rest. So she'll do a full fucking day off rest in her pajamas all day. And the beauty of it is, A, she gets a really good rest. She allows her body to fucking wind down for a full day. But B, she says that by the end of the day, she is itching to go back to what normally would be like, oh, I have to do this again. She's like, I can't wait to train again. I can't wait to do this. I'm excited to do that shit again because I've had a day where I've done nothing. So it allows you to feel the contrast and the extremes of like total rest and then excitement for the things that you work hard for. So schedule in, if you can't do a full pajama day, do a pajama afternoon, okay? Do an early night once a week where if you have a bath, you run yourself a bath, or you have whatever, do a fake, whatever it is that makes you feel like I am really resting. Be intentional. There's nothing better for your mental health than being intentional about your rest. So while I've talked about being intentional for your relationships, taking action, doing something in the moment, rest is just as important because adequate rest helps you get excited for hard work. If you do not rest, it is impossible to be excited for hard work because you are tired mentally, emotionally. You're drained. You're fucking burnt out. Even if you wanted to get excited, it's really difficult to do so, okay? So please give that a go. I really hope this episode has gotten you to a position where you're like, oh, I feel like I've got a bit more control. I'm going to try this today. I'm going to try this tonight. I'm going to try certain things that she said. I'm going to use those quotes on myself. I'm going to ask myself these questions. Go back and listen to it again. Go back and listen to those key points and use them. Infuse them in your day, okay? And this will hopefully start to make you feel happy. Someone said to me in one of the questions on my Instagram that I always talk about giving advice and I never share my struggles. And it made me realize that I don't hide my struggles from you guys for the most part, unless they're like, you know, everyday mundane things. Well, I don't try to hide my struggles, but it's made me realize that I do very much, very, very much practice what I preach. And a lot of the things I talk about, I myself have gone through and learnt and improved and gotten to where I am. It's not like I've never experienced all this. Like I have, my 20s were a massive time of trial and error and procrastinating and avoiding and being, I played the victim hard and, you know, so much of what I talk about and how to turn it around is because I very much am my own case study for a lot of things, not everything, but for a whole bunch of things. So I feel like a lot of the struggles that I talk about are struggles in my past and how I've overcome them. But yeah, one of the struggles that I definitely have right now that I did talk about in my stories and I thought it'd be interesting to share is I'm so bad at replying to emails and text messages. And I feel like there's an avoidance thing that triggers in me, especially when I'm really busy. I almost feel like I don't want to be controlled by like external things. So I'm like, I'm not getting on Instagram for a whole day, but to an extent where I become avoidant. So one thing that is really important is tackling things more in the moment, but without feeling like it's over, like consuming. Like I don't feel like I want to be replying just because someone's messaged me. I don't have to reply in the moment because then you're like, you're a hostage to your devices. But then I feel like I've gone the other way with that. And then I become so avoidant. I take days to reply to things. So I'm working on that. And it's all about, what is it? What do I say? Name it to tame it. I'm naming it. So I'm like slowly going to be taming that. That's one of the several. I mean, we all go through struggles. I procrastinate at times. There are times where I'm like, oh, I myself don't rest properly. And then it affects everything else. So we're all a work in progress, aren't we? We're all here to learn and improve, and it's one day at a time. So I will keep sharing my struggles with you as they crop up and as I work through them. Guys, thank you so much for listening to the episode today. I love you guys. I really love meeting you guys as well. So it means the world to me when you guys come up to me and chat. And I'm recording this on the 7th of May, but tomorrow is my birthday. It's the Bean's birthday, but you're listening to this on the 9th. So the Bean's birthday was yesterday. So I'm really pumped. On my birthday, I always, and this, I've got a whole episode. It's one of my first ever episodes on like birthday resolutions, but I always, firstly, I take the day off. I know people think that's lame. I'll be as lame as you think I am. I don't care. I'll take the day off and it's a day to, you know, so I'm going to have like breakfast with my girlfriends, going to have lunch with another girlfriend. I'm going to, you know, I'll spend a couple of hours on my own where I do a whole like inventory of what I learned in the fun. It's like what a lot of people do at New Year's Eve I do on my birthday because it's like entering my new year. I talk about what I want for myself, what I've learned, where I see growth, where I could improve, all of like a bit of an inventory. I really enjoy doing that. And I go through all the wins of the last year and what I'm really grateful for. And I sit in that and it feels amazing. So I do that. I spend 1 to 2 hours alone kind of writing, journaling that down. And then Tyrone and I have like an afternoon date that goes into dinner. So I'm pumped. It's going to be a great fucking birthday. That's all. Guys, thank you so much for listening. Shout out to my global beans. I'm just going to shout out to the whole fucking world. Love you guys. I'm feeling very lovey-dovey today to you all. And I will fucking see you here next time. As always, remember, be kind to yourself, be kind to your brain. Don't take shit from anyone. And especially don't take shit from yourself. Don't care.
Listener.